Survive Kamapalooza again.
All right. How did it go?
It went pretty good. It was very, very busy, especially on the Saturday.
It was very busy?
Insane, yeah.
Really?
I had to put my fires out like I always do because of people not understanding how shit should be organized and everything. But got through Saturday. Sunday was kind of slow. It was weird. It was like a 50-50 split between vendors as far as who did well and who didn't. So, a lot of times, of course, as you know, it's what a vendor sells.
Yeah.
You know, some people sell stuff that isn't going to be real popular and everything. But all in all, it was a good show. Very successful.
That's awesome. I was seeing some pictures. It looked like the people there were having fun.
Everybody was having a blast.
Like I said, just too many other things going on this weekend. It was the kids' last day of school a few days ago, so last week, so going into the weekend, plus Memorial Day, it was like, oh, we got this party and this thing and these things, and none of them cost $80. Mm-hmm. Even on Memorial Day, on Monday, we got free beer, so it was nice.
Right.
We drank about $100 worth of free beer, so it actually came out ahead on that one.
Well, Eureka Heights had a huge booth there. They were giving away beers and everything, samples, and I did a podcast with Comic Cave Podcast, Big Chris Tamez.
Nice.
Which was pretty cool. That was a lot of fun. Some other people that do events. We all got it there. Just answered some questions, ran over as always, because you know I like to talk for some reason.
It's the way it works.
I think people want to hear what I have to say, so I just can't stop.
Well, it's better than the people just kind of trail off and wander when you're in mid-comment. Like, oh, okay, well, thanks. See you later.
And of course, my favorite human that weekend was, as you saw, Lou Diamond Phillips. The dude was absolutely outstanding, dude. He got off the plane and was just in good spirits, talked for a while. I actually told him, I said, dude, you know what's weird is, one reason I do that airport thing and I run that is because I tend not to get starstruck. And I said, you know, there's been three times that I've kind of gotten a little nervous around somebody. And I said, you're the third one. And he was like, don't get nervous around me. He says, look, I'm going to tell you what, when you get back to the hotel, let's go grab a drink. I was like, all right, cool. So
that's awesome.
Went down, had a drink with him and stuff, and the man hugged me the entire day. Every time I saw him, he'd give me a hug. It was pretty amazing. So
that's awesome.
He's filming a new movie right now up in Dallas. So he had to leave. He only did one day. He had to leave real quick and head out that Saturday night. So, but it was good. Shatner killed it. Shatner's a machine, dude.
Yeah.
The guy's 90-something years old. He's probably been doing conventions longer than any other guest because Star Trek conventions existed long before.
Yeah.
And he strolled in at, he flew in, Hobby Airport, Southwest Airlines, which shocked the shit out of me, which I just found weird. Flew in at 10:15, straight to the convention center, signed autographs nonstop all day, and his line was just insane. It was ridiculous. He knocked that line out so quick. And then left at about 6 o'clock in the evening and flew to his next gig.
Oh wow.
Doesn't stop. His agent was telling me how he had did a thing in Germany, signed all day, flew to New Zealand. I'm sorry, Australia, signed all day. It just, the man doesn't stop.
That's awesome. He's awesome. You know, he's been in a lot of stuff, but Shatner's good.
Oh yeah,
I need to find some of those because they're highly collectible now. Those spoken word Beatles songs that he did, like those really weird Shatner cover records. Alrighty then, well, welcome to the Scary Dad Podcast. This is I actually went and looked because we didn't know last time. This is episode 177.
Oh,
okay. The comeback episode was 176. For those of you trying to reference it. And today is Monday, June the 5th, 2023. So, we're going back to the old structure, the old format. So, Mr. Gomez.
First, the old business.
All right. Old business for June 5th. And again, inside of those 200 episodes of the 176 of them prior, you might have heard some of these tidbits or facts. We may have done a show on them or it may have fallen on June 5th before, so the old business is similar. But trying to keep it entertaining, so. All right, on this date in 1837, Houston was incorporated by the Republic of Texas. So before today, in 1837, there was no Houston. Now there is.
It was just kind of a rural area where people hung out.
It's just a swamp full of mosquito smugglers. wasn't too great, but you know, it got bigger, it grew, it got better. Okay, on this date in 1893, the trial of Lizzie Borden begins. She took an axe and gave her parents 40 whacks.
I love this story. The Christina Ricci movie is excellent too. Very well done. Just growing up, that was like a big deal. The rhyme and everything. Everybody knew it, so.
All right. In sad and horrifying news, in this date in 1946, fire in the LaSalle Hotel in Chicago killed 61 people. You know, say what you want about building codes. We have friends in the horror industry, in the haunted house industry, and getting their haunts up to code and being able to comply is difficult because of all the things that they're doing to scare you. Mm-hmm. But we've talked about it many times on this show. But fires in buildings, structure fires, used to kill a lot of people.
Yeah.
Relatively often, and they didn't have good fire suppression. Mm-hmm. You know, everything was made out of flammable materials,
and it, when it caught on fire, it went up quick like a Christmas tree.
Right, it sucked all the air out of everything. Everything's made out of wood, and, you know, cotton, natural fibers, and everything. So yeah, we don't luckily have that much anymore. So, all right, in this date in 1956, Elvis premiered "Hound Dog" on the Milton Berle Show, and. Made a big scandal with his hips dancing. Think about, you know, where we've gone from there. I think about stuff like that from time to time. It's like this or that thing, you know, Elvis or whatever. It's gonna lead to the downfall of, you know, civilization. And you're like, no, it won't. But then you look at like the way things have kind of gone since the 50s, and you're like. Well, maybe they were right. I mean, I wouldn't want to give up like Motley Crue or Guns N' Roses over it, but they were kind of right.
And only a couple of decades later, after that, Elvis switched places with Sebastian Stan. And decided he ended up being stuck in a nursing home for the rest of his days, fighting fucking mummies and shit, which is awesome.
Okay, let's see. On this date in 1960, this is one that we talked about doing, but we never spoke, but the Lake Bottom murders in Finland.
Uh-huh.
It was just an unsolved mystery of all these, you know, these kids that went camping and just got murdered. And, you know.
Sasquatch.
Probably. All right, 1968, Robert Kennedy was assassinated. This date in 1981, imagine being the editor of this magazine, but it's the Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report, an internal CDC document.
I bet their summer swimsuit edition is badass.
But in this date in 1981, they reported 5 people in Los Angeles having a pneumonia from a weakened immune system. And it turns out these were the first people to have AIDS, the first discovered AIDS in the United States.
I honestly thought it popped up in New York. I didn't realize it was California.
Well, it might have, but I think this is where they noticed these people have a similar thing. It's a,
okay.
You know, might have already been around New York. This is when the CDC was like, oh, they've got it too.
It's weird. It's probably kind of bigoted to think that New York just got me, but gun to the head, somebody would have said, tell me where it started. I would have guessed New York.
I would have thought. I mean, just because I don't even know why. It's just, you're right. Even New York or LA. Let's see. 1989. The iconic Tank Man made his stand at Tiananmen Square. He stood in front of all those tanks, mm-hmm. and they actually backed up. Then later that day,
took him out.
They didn't. And then in 2001, I was here the whole time for this. Remember Tropical Storm Allison?
Yes.
Made land on this date in 2001.
We've actually talked about that. I bought my house to move out here the week before.
That's right.
And I was going to move. We were going to move the week after. So I'm sitting at home thinking my house is underwater just from all the imagery on the news and everything. And that was a fucking mess, man.
It was nuts.
Because the offices I was moving to in Sugar Land, they were putting us in the basement. And the basement flooded. They had a pond right on the property, and everything just went into the basement. So it took us a while to get those offices set up. But yeah, that was a terrible deal.
Yeah. I think Allison was the one where the woman in the elevator in the office building, the elevator dunked her into the water.
Yeah.
The basement was flooded, and so she just... The elevator went down to the bottom floor and just filled up with water, and they pulled her out a few days later.
Right.
Horrible.
Because there were several, because they were moving, staging us in groups to move here. And the week of, while it was going on, they had a group that was trying to move out here. And there were a few people that had just gone on the beltway. It was night, and they didn't realize what was going on, and they just drove into floodwaters. Mm-hmm. Ruined their cars and stuff. It was...
Yeah, it was nuts. It was insane. I mean, I knew a lot of people that were affected by that. Okay, notable births. In 1850, Pat Garrett, he shot Billy the Kid.
Yep, or so they say.
1878, Pancho Villa. You see him all over the Mexican restaurants.
Yeah.
In 1956, the great Kenny G was born. And in 1971, Marky Mark himself, Wahlberg. And then notable deaths, 1999, Mel Torme. You can't hear Mel Torme without the skibbidi-bidi-bidi-bidi-bidi.
I hear Mel Torme and immediately think of Night Court.
Me too. That's the only place I know it from. 2004, Ronald Reagan died. And 2012, Ray Bradbury. And that is it for the old business.
There used to be this camp about 60 miles from here. Camp Arawak. All these kids started getting killed. Well, it ended up that the killer was the shy 14-year-old girl that everybody picked on. Except she wasn't...
Phoebe, you're supposed to be in the cabin. Let's go.
Wait, what happened to the killer?
Whatever happened to the good kids in the world?
Oh, don't talk like that, Uncle John. There's lots of good kids. We just have to weed out the bad.
Remember, ladies, nice girls don't have to show it off.
Where's Phoebe?
I had to send her home.
I found her doing things with the boys last night that she had no business doing.
I know the rest of you are nice young ladies and you won't get into any trouble.
Let this be a lesson to you. Say no to drugs.
Camp Rolling Hills is the best. Oh, I'm a happy camper. I love the summer sun. I love the trees and forests. I'm always having fun.
I don't like being the Wicked Witch of the West.
Hey.
But I know what happens when things get out of control.
You're gonna tell.
Oh, I'm a happy camper. I love the Christmas sky. And with the grace of God, I'll camp until I die.
Good night, campers.
All right, we're back.
Okay. Here we go, Mr. Gomez, if you want to lead it off.
New business is new business, and this is new business.
Okay, I only got a few things with new business. As I said last time, Mr. Greenlee is gone now, decided to take a serious step in journalism, so we don't have his plethora of articles to be able to go through, but I do have a few things that I found. You ever lost a phone, like in the toilet, or dropped it at the beach, in the water, or anything like that?
Not
you
where
probably know someone that has.
Yeah, or not where I couldn't recover it.
Now, normally, somebody does that and you just go to T-Mobile the next day and get you a new phone. But apparently in New Delhi, the food inspector in New Delhi, Rajesh Vishwas, has actually lost his job because he dropped his Samsung smartphone in the Kirkata Dam, central Indian state of, I can't pronounce this word, but I will try, Chhattisgarh. And initially, he went ahead and tried to find a team of divers that works for the city to jump down in there and find his phone, saying that it had sensitive government information from the food inspector on it. And when that didn't work, he went ahead and ordered the entire reservoir to be drained so he could retrieve his Samsung smartphone from the reservoir. And needless to say, he has lost his job.
Did he get his phone back?
They didn't find it. They drained it and never found it. So it
was good. So that's like the whole point of the story. He tried so hard to get his phone back that he lost his job. At least did he get the phone?
So yeah, that's one way. Okay. Moving on. Travis Carlson decided to use gasoline extracted from his car to set fire to a house that was that he owned, that they had some tenants living in. And before setting the fire, he decided to add a little soundtrack. Maybe he's an independent film fan and knows the importance of soundtrack and score. So, right before setting the building on fire, he decided to crank up Billy Joel's We Didn't Start the Fire. Mr. Carlson has been arrested for arson, of course. He's being held in the county jail, $75,000 bail, and charged with arson in the first degree. A felony carrying a maximum 20-year prison sentence. It was a duplex. He did it at 4 a.m. in the morning. First responders got there and they actually heard We Didn't Start the Fire blaring from the upstairs apartment. You know, it's important to make sure that you cover all those elements.
So you're talking about the Indian guy draining the reservoir to find his phone. So I remember it wasn't too long ago, maybe a year or two, that it was big news. One of these like ultra, like super environmentally by the rules states. There's a reservoir that some kids peed into, or like a kid peed into the reservoir.
Remember that? That sounds very familiar. May have happened more than once.
But like, there's ducks that swim around on this thing and shit in the water all the time. But this kid peed in the reservoir, and I think it was California. Was like, nope, we have to drain the reservoir. So they drained it all out, like got the ducks out of there, drained it out, and cleaned, because I guess it was a concrete. They cleaned it all up, filled it back up, and like 2 days later, some other kid came and peed in the reservoir. And they're all like, like, it would cost us all this money. And it's like, dude, ducks shit in it all day long. A little bit of pee in a water reservoir that's going to go through like 8 other filters.
I'm picturing a bunch of Bill Murrays from Caddyshack in hazmat suits scrubbing the walls of the reservoir after it's drained.
You damn kids, just keep peeing in here. We need to put up a sign that says, please no peeing in the reservoir.
Okay, so you know how much fun it is, like if you're on a plane or in a doctor's office, to go ahead and airdrop naked selfies to people? Just me? You never?
Well, I'm laughing because
I've heard it's fun. I'll put it that way.
That is fun.
Anyway, apparently that is a pretty serious felony, as one Oklahoma man has recently found out. Stajic Heim, 23 years old, was in an apartment, or a real estate firm, applying for an apartment. And they asked him to go over to the computer and start doing the application and stuff. Next thing you know, employees started getting airdrop messages and immediately checked their phones because they were curious as to what they were getting. And there were naked selfies of Mr. Heim on their phones. exposing his private parts and of himself naked in front of a mirror.
So he wasn't really trying to apply for a house. He wanted to get in there and flash everybody, yes, like shotgun style. And like, you all see my dick all at once.
So Mr. Helm was arrested and booked to the county jail on a felony count. He was later released on $2,000 bond and is scheduled for arraignment on June 20th. And I know you're going to ask this question. No, he did not get approved for the apartment he was applying for.
Dude.
And when I first popped the story up, you know, I was thinking he sat at the computer and was had his phone and was doing the pictures there, but apparently he had them locked and loaded in a phone somewhere. And,
hey, how's it going?
And I bet these chicks want to see this monster.
Get some of this!
Now, I wondered if in his mind, because he's maybe been watching too many Brazzers porns, he actually thought that one of the chicks was going to open it and see a picture and immediately pull him into the break room or some shit.
I think, because all I'm seeing is like, I remember, like, this was, it showed up on a Facebook memory many years ago. The news, like, Channel 11, it was like, authorities or witnesses report a flasher out by Rice University, and officials are telling people to be on the lookout for him. And I'm like, that's horrible advice. Like, look around for somebody who's gonna. But if I was a flasher, and I'd be like, well, used to be you'd have to find a crowd of people. You know, you'd have to get one person walking alone and be like, hit, and they have good running shoes on. But now with modern technology, you can just, like, nuke the whole world.
Yeah. Like, you read about it all the time. People or planes just, you know, bombing everybody's airdrop with whatever pictures they want. There was one I read about recently. I'm going to try to find that story, actually, for next week. Because that'll be a good new business. It was a good one. But similar to, we'll start doing airdrop stories of the week or something. Because this other one was pretty fucking funny.
All right.
But yeah, that's it for new business today.
Awesome. We'll be right back.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12. Friday the 13th. You may only see it once, but that will be enough. Friday the 13th, rated R.
All right, so, couple of things. We might have probably had a summer blockbuster or summer movies episode in the past. We've done a lot of stuff in the past, and unfortunately, going back and trying to remember it all and look through all of our notes and seeing what we could do to maybe not, you know, cover something twice, we're not going to do that. So, if you're like, they've already done this, be like, well, they forgot. So they're going to do it again in a completely different way.
Well, the thing about it is, what you have to think about is, since the first time we ever recorded, we've grown a lot as far as podcasting goes and just life experiences and things we've been through. So technically, it's probably going to be a totally different episode.
True. That's absolutely true. So the other day, kids got out of school and they wanted to have a movie night, and they're still young, so we can't quite put them in front of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but we were kind of going through, okay, what's fun but adults can enjoy it too, and flipping through the streamings, well, out pops Kindergarten Cop, which I don't remember the last time you watched Kindergarten Cop.
It's been a while.
I hadn't seen it in forever, but it is exactly like you remember it. Like, it's just that basic Kindergarten Cop story. It was just a vehicle for action star Schwarzenegger to transfer into comedy, right?
To show his acting chops.
And it's absolutely fun, right? Had a good time. But there was a couple of things I noticed. The first one about Kindergarten Cop is, it was 1990, right? So it was right at the end of the hard-boiled 80s. So even in this light-hearted, you know, kids movie, basically, you have a straight-up, look-you-in-the-eyes brutal murder with a silenced pistol. Then you have the guy makes the witness overdose. Like they give her bad drugs, and she shows up. You know, she's all blue in the freezer. Then they have a shootout at the school. You know, it's like, it's still hard-boiled 80s.
Right.
It's just kind of weaning itself off because, remember, in the 90s, that's when horror went kind of PG-13. It lost its boobs, and it lost a lot of its kill shots.
Right.
And, you know, we can say the 90s horror lost its balls.
It did.
And but there's still a couple of little twitches there at the end of the 80s and into the early 90s before everything went south. But anyway, that's just a long story into telling you that we had, for the kids, we were making a list of fun movies. Like The Goonies or School of Rock. You know, just movies that they'll enjoy that aren't too crude and aren't too crass and, you know, don't have too many boobs in them. So then Scott's like, hey, what do you want to talk about? I was like, let's make a list. Let's make a cool summer movie list. So these are summer themed, summer blockbusters, and then we don't like to, you know, paint ourselves in too tight of a corner. So these are also just movies that we like to watch. You know, might have nothing to do with summer, but you just put it on anytime you want because we live in a world where we can do that. You're not the boss of me, man. Seasons.
Well, with me, you know that I like the classics. And one series that is pretty much goes hand in hand with summer movie watching, which is, and it's a family movie, I would say, but it is also hilarious, and it contains some of the most, you know, classic comedic actors of the 1980s, would be the Vacation series. Mm-hmm. And my son has recently gotten really, really into it, like big time. He's watched them all so far. Yeah, but yeah, just those National Lampoon Vacation movies are just classic shit.
They really, really are. And, you know, tangentially, you can even say there is a scene where Clark has the Friday the 13th mask on with a chainsaw.
Yeah, it's true. Yes, Christmas Vacation, it sure does.
They actually sold that figure at Target over the holidays.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. I do remember seeing that.
Yeah, the Vacation movies are great. They're just so out there. But, I mean, they're so relatable because everybody's been on a bad family vacation before.
And has been annoyed by having to take a car trip, even if it's a two-hour or a four-hour trip. You know how being cramped in a car with family, even though you love them, it can get really, really annoying.
But you got the overly exuberant and overly optimistic dad who, even though things are going badly for him, he's just like brushing it off and being like, carry on.
Yeah, we're going to keep pushing on.
And then you got the kids who can't even see straight because their eyes are rolling so hard. And of course, then you have Beverly D'Angelo, who's just hot.
Having to visit family you don't really want to see, but you feel obligated to stop by their house.
The dog leash. It's like, it's so good.
But yeah, that's definitely one, if you haven't seen it, you can share with the kids and get a little bit of fun.
Yeah, it's so appropriate for the kids. So he pulls up and he's like, hey, can you tell me how to get the expressway? Like, man, fuck your mom. All right. Well, you know, there's the original summer blockbuster. I doubt it was planned because before this, they didn't have summer blockbusters. So you can't say that they were like, hey, we're going to make the first summer blockbuster also be a horror film. But it really worked with Jaws.
Yes.
And
you can't talk summer movies without bringing it up, though.
Yeah, and I mean, we could have just held it for later, which we might, because we could just start with Jaws the Revenge.
Okay.
Right? And like count back down like through the other movies and then hit Jaws at the end, you know, and the grand reveal is if that movie doesn't ever land on the very top of everybody's number one lists for summer films and blockbusters and shark movies and whatever. But I saw Jaws the Revenge in the theater. Me and my grandfather take us. Uh-huh. My cousin Aaron, we, you know, and that banana boat scene where the shark comes up out of the water and then just kind of hangs out on its tail for about 4 minutes while it chews up the whole banana boat in slow-mo. It's like... things that are stupid to grown-ups, but as a kid, you're like, whoa, can they really do that?
Okay, so I'm going to go back to comedy for a second. Because, honestly, this is... as a kid, I used to watch this movie. This is one of those movies that was on rotation all the time that you watched. It came out in 1985. Stars one of the most beloved people. One of the most beloved actors of our generation, for sure. But R.I.P. John Candy. I mean, guy's just incredible. I've never heard a bad thing said about John Candy. But Summer Rental.
Mm-hmm.
That movie is fucking hilarious, dude. From just... everything, you know, the opening scene, he's an overworked air traffic controller, he's freaking out, trying to get in touch with the plane, realizes it's a fly on his screen, because he can't find a plane and the fly is covering it. You know, there's a scene where in the middle, they finally get to their fucking, the house that they rented, the summer house, and that family that actually lives there shows up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and want to know why he's there. So he has to wake up the entire family and get them out. Everybody's half asleep. The 50-pound bag of dog food they have bust open and falls over. And people are just like, would you just get out of the goddamn house? And they finally get all out of the house and they realize they forgot a kid. So they have to come back in and get one of the kids that are sleeping. That movie is just great. You know, wacky neighbors. They end up having to go to this really, really shitty rental where they're having to deal with a whole host of characters. That's such an awesome movie.
My dad was a big, big John Candy fan.
Mm-hmm.
And that was always one that he just loved cracking up. But that same vein of comedy... it's a straightforward comedy, but it's a weird comedy. But One Crazy Summer. That's one of those films I remember because it was in very heavy rotation on cable when I was a kid. But even as a kid, you knew enough normal movies, that this was a strange movie, that it wasn't just your thinking it was weird, and like it's actually weird, but you didn't have enough life experience to really kind of know why it was weird, just like it made sense that they were making a Jaws sequel with it,
Dolphin rabies.
So it doesn't make sense, but it kind of makes sense. But that particular movie, I mean, obviously there's a counterpart that happens in Winter with Better Off Dead.
Everybody talks Better Off Dead. Not as many people talk about One Crazy Summer.
One Crazy Summer is so good.
Yeah, Bobcat Goldthwait. You got so many great actors in there. You got what's his name from the Twisted Sister videos? I can't remember his name, but he plays the nemesis in the movie, and he is that character from the Twisted Sister videos come to real life. It's fucking amazing, dude.
Steven Wright on the radios, like, you're gonna win the, you're just gonna win the thing. No, it wasn't Steven Wright. It was Rich Little. It's like
and a very young Jeremy Piven.
Yeah. When Bobcat gets stuck in the gorilla or the
in a Godzilla suit, yeah.
Cigar there, he's all, yeah. That's just one of those great, great movies that is completely underrated and you can't even find it anywhere. Like it's not produced anymore.
It's such a good movie.
But it is so good. And I think I watched that. It was one of those ones that I watched so much that it just kind of imprinted on my brain.
And it's goofy as hell. And there's so much stuff that I remember from that movie. And like little details. Like when they dump all the lobsters in the swimming pool.
Yeah.
And when the guy gets out, I remember as a kid, the guy jumps out the swimming pool and there's a lobster that is lashed. And you can tell it's a plastic lobster that they safety pinned to his swim trunks, but he's running around like the lobster is pinching the shit out of him. He's just awesome.
They cut the Odie tongue off.
Don't do that. Your faces are going to stick that way. And the little girl's doing their faces all crazy looking.
That was, what's his name? Taylor Negron. The comedian,
yes,
like,
yeah.
When he's like, tells him,
crazy uncle trying to win the radio contest the whole time. It is just so good. Booger from Revenge of the Nerds. Yeah, he's in it. It is such a good movie. Watch it if you haven't seen it, One Crazy Summer.
All right, let's see. I threw in Ernest Goes to Camp in the middle of all my horror shit just because I was going to like pass it off as a joke. But since we're talking about comedy, Ernest Goes to Camp, it's so stupid, but it's also endearing. Like, it's so dumb, it's kind of hard to watch. But after you've watched it once, then you kind of have these scenes in your head, like the turtle that's like, I'm scared, sorry, we're all scared. Ernest P. Worrell. Okay, so let's get into some horror, man. Started off with Kindergarten Cop. Now, that was not supposed to be on the agenda. That was just why I started thinking about it, because we had to make a list for the kids. But then I started thinking about Schwarzenegger movies, you know? And strangely enough, the only other summer blockbuster he has, he's like, Terminator came out, and that was a Christmas movie. The sequels were all summer movies.
Right.
But the original one was a horror movie. It was like, came out in October.
Yeah, it was supposed to be like Halloween.
Which, you get in those weird debates whether or not Terminator is a horror movie.
It's first one is.
Absolutely.
The rest of them go sci-fi. But that first one is definitely horror. It's a horror movie.
Yeah. But yeah, and Conan was pretty damn scary. I mean, it's not really meant to be a horror film, but it's horrifying. So that came out in 82. And, right. You know, James Earl Jones is brutal. You know, he's just so, so bad. And you have snake people orgies.
It's a wild ass movie.
You know,
every competitor.
But you can Conan yourself, like between Conan, Barbarian, Conan Destroyer, and we've talked about the Beastmaster so much.
Yeah.
But Beastmaster's a good horrifying bit of cinema as well.
Yes, yeah, with the witches and everything, and it definitely has those tropes in it.
And then you can go to Red Sonja. So if you're trying for a, you know, fantasy, I wouldn't call it fantasy horror, but it's horrifying fantasy thing to do over the weekend. You can run through the Conan movies and then the Beastmaster. That's mm-hmm. always fun.
Right. Okay, so during the summertime, we normally have a couple of different types of vacations. And one of the types of vacations, of course, is the road trip, the family road trip, like we were talking. And definitely one just scare the hell out of you horror movie would be The Hills Have Eyes. Don't take shortcut advice from weird ass people running gas stations in the middle of the desert. Just stick to your game plan, because that's one vacation movie, road trip movie, that just went to shit quick. What I love about The Hills Have Eyes, even the 2006 remake, is
it's great.
Yeah, I mean, Wes Craven was aboard that one too. He did a fantastic job with it. And that's just, that movie has all the horror elements you need. It's a freaky movie. It has as we've used before, it has the torture porn in it. It has the scary shit in it. It has all the elements you need in it. So
you just might get away. You just might get away, but no.
Now, the other type of vacation people sometimes take is, of course, the staycation. And one of my favorite, and I know one of your favorite staycation movies, which actually is a pretty good movie as a gateway for maybe your 13, 14-year-old to see if they might have some interest in it, is, of course, The Burbs.
Oh, dude.
The Burbs is an absolutely fantastic movie.
It is. You know how we've talked about, like, the movie The Thing, mm-hmm. where it's like there's that one scene. It's just the way it's filmed. It's just a little bit offbeat, so it scares you every time, even though you know it's coming, which is the autopsy scene. The Burbs is the same way. Like, it's got those things where it's like, even though at the end you do know what happens, if you've never seen it before, I'm not going to spoil it, because it is very much worth seeing. But all of the things telling you that things aren't the way that they are, and he's just psycho, all add up to, like, the movie is set in such that it doesn't play the audience for a fool. Like, it brings you along,
right?
And you start to question his sanity, because, you know, it's like, what? And then whenever it reveals, and you're just like, oh, that's so awesome. Like, the Birds is so good,
and just great cast. And like I said, it shows you that even a staycation, even if you decide to stay at home and play it safe, things can go to shit. And definitely by far the best movie by Carrie Fisher outside of Star Wars. I mean, it was It's a really, really great movie. You get young Corey Feldman, just the goofball kid neighbor. There's stuff you can relate to.
You got Bruce Dern.
If you live in the burbs,
antennas on his roof and stuff.
If you live in the burbs, you know these people in this movie. You know the different personalities and characters that are in this movie. You know, you got the nosy neighbor. You got the neighbor that borrows all your shit and never brings it back. You know, you have all those elements in it. It's really, really good.
Yeah,
the weird ass neighbor that everybody wonders what the fuck they're doing in their house.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is. I think you're right. It's one of those. It's a perfect movie.
Yeah,
is because no, like, often with a horror movie or like a mystery movie, once you've seen it once, then you are watching it differently because you know how it ends. So you're looking for clues or you're doing. With The Burbs is one that you can just keep watching over and over again, and even knowing how it ends, it's still fun and interesting because of the way it's made.
Right.
So.
Oh, by far.
That's. It's so fun.
It's funny.
I've never seen somebody drive their trash to the driveway and then just beat the hell out of it. I've never seen that. All right, let's see. I'm gonna have to put it down because this, for me, it was a summer standard. But Predator.
Yeah.
You know, I know I'm sticking to Schwarzenegger, but I was really just thinking about the movies that I was allowed to watch when I was younger, and you know, 1987, I would have been 11, 12 years old, and Predator came out, and then like between movies and. Home video, it was about another year. So I was about 13 years old when I first saw Predator. And that was one hell of a movie.
The movie was wild. Still is. It holds up.
I mean, it's a slasher, essentially.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're just in the woods and there's something stalking you and taking you out one by one. And, you know, so it's on par with, you know, Halloween or Friday or something like that. But the Stan Winston creature... He looks badass in his helmet. But when that helmet comes off...
It scares the shit out of you.
You're just like...
You're not expecting that at all.
Yeah. And it's just like every element of nasty in a creature. Like, what's bad? Like, independently moving mandibles, yellow eyes, and, you know, it's like...
Well, you see that helmet the whole movie, and that helmet is molded with a face on it. So that's what you're expecting to see. And then the helmet comes off, and the face just opens up.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck is going on?
It's just so awesome. And I'm so glad that they replaced Van Damme, because he just doesn't look like he's big enough to, like, really carry the character.
That's why you put lifts in shoes.
But, man, just so much love Predator. And for those of you who haven't seen it, there's really not much to it. There's an alien... There's Schwarzenegger, there's Jesse Ventura, Carl Weathers, and they're getting hunted.
Right.
And it's badass.
It is. All the characters in that movie are amazing. They fit very, very well together. That's for damn sure. Okay, so let's talk about another element of summer is the summer camp. And there's a lot of summer camp theme movies, from comedies to rom-coms to horror, of course, our favorite genre. And you can't talk summer camp movies without bringing up the Friday the 13th franchise.
Before you do, do you think... I mean, I've never really gone so far as to look into the early days of the people who wrote these franchises and all these summer camp movies... Do you think they worked at a summer camp and somebody was like, these little fuckers, somebody should just kill them all?
Oh, right.
And then somebody was like...
have been thinking that for a long time.
Say no more.
We can't do it for real, but we can do it on the big screen. Yeah, Friday the 13th is an absolute staple when mm-hmm. it comes to the horror genre. In my opinion, the greatest of all slashers. In my opinion, not saying I'm correct, but just Jason is just,
well,
it's amazing where that franchise has gone. In almost every fucking movie, summer camp, it's summertime, kids are out of school.
He's so ubiquitous that the interviewer screwed up and asked Jamie Lee Curtis what it was like to have a hockey mask killer chasing her. He drove right past Michael and straight into Jason while he's interviewing Laurie Strode. That's how famous the hockey mask and Jason Voorhees is. You know, like, he's more famous than Michael, for sure.
Right.
Even though Halloween's been really in the theaters and in the news and John Carpenter and all this stuff, but if you're like, summer camp slasher.
But, you know, the second one I'm going to talk about, you know, you have all these summer camp slashes and slasher movies that basically are the same mold. They fit the same storyline. There was one that decided to do a twist ending so fucking bizarre that it has stuck in people's minds for a long time. I have seen plushies made out of that final scene. I have seen light switches made out of that final scene. I have seen that it's just so iconic, especially for horror fans. Not a lot of non-horror fans even know this movie or know what I'm talking about, but, and I gotta give love because one of our favorite people with stars in it is Sleepaway Camp.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a camp slasher. You'd never guess who the fucking killer was.
Well, the thing is, like, we were talking about The Burbs, how it's one of those, like, once you watch it and you go back and you watch it again, think about Sleepaway Camp, that some of those kills are so brutal.
Yeah.
The strength needed to be able to do that, like, there's no way you could guess that killer.
There's a decapitation, for Christ's sake.
There is that. Is it one or two where the knife goes through like the metal door and then right. jaggeds up through the metal door? Like, you have got to be huge in order to be able to do that.
Well, what's crazy is you would never guess who the killer is, and then when you find out who the killer is, you'd never guess who the killer is, right? Because it's suddenly another twist to who the killer was. It's just a crazy-ass movie. Yeah. It definitely kind of broke away from that mold just a little bit, just to give it a twist to set it apart. But, yeah, Sleepaway Camp, you any horror fan should have seen that shit. And if you haven't, check it out.
I used to remember when I was a kid in the Sleepaway Camp. It was the first one with the knife through the shoe. But the cover that has the girl with the backpack that's got the hockey mask and the knife glove in the backpack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was yes. at Sleepaway yeah. Camp 2.
It was 2.
Making sure it wasn't some, because there were a lot of two. There was a lot of other
sleep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Sleepaway Camp 2 where she's standing there.
Summer Camp Nightmare or whatever. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Well, there were tons of copycats, but nothing like. Nobody could do that twist ending.
All right. So you don't have to watch the whole movie, but Creepshow 2. Summer staple, The Raft.
The Raft.
It'll teach you about swimming places. It'll
favorite Stephen King short story.
It's like, it'll get you. It'll stick in your head, and it'll be... I mean, I love Creepshow 2, but don't get me wrong. But that short stands alone as where does... You know, like, I saw this thing, and it was awesome. It's like, it's part of an anthology film, yeah. but that piece stands out greater than the others.
Very much so.
That's why whenever we were talking, I think I like Creepshow, the original, mm-hmm. Creepshow 1, as a whole, better than Creepshow 2, but The Raft trumps both to me. Like, that was so scary, because I was always swimming in lakes and shit. Like, it's freaking how effective you are with a camera, a lake, and freaking garbage bag. I mean... It doesn't even look like the blob. It just right. looks like this kind of...
This amorphous floating thing. Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. And the thing about it is they did such a good job with it because I've read the story, mm-hmm. you know, a long time ago, and it's just, it fits it perfectly. I mean, it's exactly what you mean. It's exactly what you want, you know. Hey, Pancho. Okay, but another nice summer activity. Let's say you and I decide, you know what would be nice is to have a nice little summer place to go spend time in. And then we find this like really, really good deal on this cabin out in the woods. And we say, hey, this is what we're going to do for vacation this year for summer. Me and you are going to go and fix that cabin up. And then a group of college kids show up not far from there to camp out and spend their summer just hanging out. Do you think it would turn into the absolutely amazing horror comedy that is Tucker and Dale versus Evil? Because that is a movie that everybody needs. That, to me, that's that, one of the greatest horror comedies ever made.
That movie, to me, was so surprising in so many ways. Because, I mean, I don't think I ever remembered it being in theaters. Nobody ever talked about it. It just kind of showed up in conversations. Like, oh, here's something you got to check out. And I watched that film, and I both, like, I cracked up, but it was also paced well enough to where, like, there's a lot of scenes in there that are shocking, you know, nothing terribly scary, but a lot of gore, you know, a lot of good stuff, and it's just a laugh ride all the way through. And
you know how we talk all the time, timing, how important timing is to movies? That movie is perfect. It is insane how well they did that shit. And I slept on it for too long. I had that DVD for a year before I ever put it on.
Yeah.
Because I was like, let's put it back on the shelf. And when I finally watched it, I wanted everybody to see it.
It's so good. That's one of those, it's not very long, you know. So if you're in for a penny, in for a pound, it's, you know, it's not like it's The Shining where it's like 3 hours long. It's, you know, it hits quick. So good.
Oh, dude. And you will laugh at the comedy, and if you're like me, you will laugh at these fucking crazy kills they have in this movie. And what's amazing is, it's all unintentional.
Uh-huh.
There's no killer. Yeah. There's literally no killer, but everybody's dying. I mean, it's
so good.
I remember when I finally got my kids to watch it a few years ago, they kind of didn't want to get into it. And then once it got... Okay, so the kids go out there, they go swimming, the girl hits her head, she gets to the cabin. Once that first kill happened, my kids would not even get up to go to the bathroom. They were just enthralled by this movie, and they couldn't stop laughing, and they thought it was absolutely insane.
It's really good, and it sends up a lot of other horrors.
Yeah.
Like people making bad decisions, people saying things, people like inappropriate, like... Like, oh, well, let's start making out. It's like, this is really not a good time. You know, that kind of stuff. It's Tucker and Dale versus Evil is probably, I'm going to say in the last, like, at least 5 years, but probably in the last 10 years, it's in my top 10 all movies.
It's so good because you have all the basic characters. You know, you have the creepy hillbillies, but while the creepy hillbillies normally are supposed to be the terrifying people, they're just so innocent and sweet. Mm-hmm. And then you got the carefree college kids that are normally, you know, the protagonists. But they're actually kind of shitty people, you know, because they're stereotyping the innocent hillbilly guys.
Yeah, they're just hanging out.
They got her digging her own grave.
So then, you know, same, not quite as lighthearted, but Cabin in the Woods.
God, that movie's so good.
That's one of those that's people love it or hate it, but I can't understand why you would hate it. Like, the ending of that movie is just so cool.
The characters.
Where, you know, and it's got Sigourney Weaver in it. You know, it's like, she's the director, and it's like, oh, you know, you feel bad for these kids. You're like, oh, they figured it out. They're going to survive. But then, like, the end happens, and you're just going, oh, man, we've been rooting for the bad guys the whole time. We've been rooting for the wrong people.
And what's funny is, like, when I first watched that movie, and the first time I saw it, when I got to the end, I thought to myself, I never would have guessed those would have been the final two. Never in a million years. I had no idea this shit was going to happen. But the movie's so good. There's so many characters. You know, Melissa has stencil art of 11 of the 13 ghosts right now. She's wrapping that up because people are collecting, like, all 13 of them. And she just started doing all the monsters from Cabin in the Woods. And she has the merman that she's done. And it's so cool because the merman is literally a standalone thing that actually you put, like, on a counter. And his hand comes out.
Oh, sweet.
And it's flat at the top. It came out so badass. But, yeah, there's just so many creepy horror trope characters in there that are playing off of a lot of famous things. Mm-hmm. You know, you have the zombie family that they have. You know, you have all the
like
dolly,
zombie,
creepy dolls. You
zombie
have all
rednecks,
this cool shit.
Like, just kind of punching it. Yeah. They're all working to, like, get them scared enough.
Yeah, it's a really, really great one.
Well, I'm going to fall back on, you know, Fun in the Sun, but Piranha.
I was going to talk about that one actually. So yeah, I'm glad you talked about that one, man. That is another one that, yeah, that's a serious summer movie. Even, you know, if you don't like old horror, pick up Piranha 3D.
Well, the thing about Piranha 3D is that's that, like we said earlier, after the 80s, horror kind of lost its balls, and Piranha 3D is one of those that, I mean, it's got a lot of stars in it. I mean, they put their money into
it. Oh, yeah.
So it's not like somebody was just over there being like, oh, screw this. But I think with Piranha 3D, they took so many just, like, way out their elements and mixed them up just right to where it would work. You know, because Piranha 3D is, it's got a bunch of jump scares. It's gory as hell. But it's also funny, you know, and there's not too much at stake except for the whole end of the world. But, right. You know, like with the characters, it's like, if they get you, you know, they're going to eat you up, you know, but like they're just going to switch scenes and there's going to be somebody else getting buzzed up too. It's so good.
Well, it seems like one of those movies like with Slither. You know, Slither, James Gunn has all these crazy ideas, but the motherfucker came from trauma. So what do you expect? And it's like he's at a point now where he's got a lot of really famous friends. So he can make a phone call and be like, hey, Mike Rooker, I got this crazy idea for a movie. I know it's not what you usually do, but let's have some fun. And next thing you know, you have this cast that doesn't look like it belongs in this fucking movie at all. It's like, where are they getting all these people? And then you just have a vision that gets thrown up there. And just people having fun making a movie. But yeah, Piranha 3D is a trip, man.
Yeah, it's like for the whole quote-unquote, like, we hate remakes. That one slips by because that was hilarious. And starting like, it's iconic now with the Jerry O'Connell scene where they bite off his dick.
And yeah, he's floating around.
3D, you're like, no!
Now, there is a fourth one that did not have the same magic as that third one, but I'm trying to remember who stars in it, and I'm going to look it up real quick and see. It's actually called Piranha 4D, which is weird. Because the guy that stars in it, you definitely would know him. And of course, you can't find it. Go ahead and talk while we're working.
All right, I'll skip to the next one. You know, mentioned Schwarzenegger earlier, but Terminator 2. That was a big summer blockbuster.
Oh, yeah.
In my opinion, Terminator 2 is the end of the series. And everything else happened because of stupidity and a money grab. But the story itself ended properly, because you had the first one where you have the relentless murder bot, and then you have the second one where you also have a relentless murder bot, but all of the parts and pieces needed to destroy to create the relentless murder bot get destroyed, and they save the day, and all is well. They bring back in the next one, it's like, oh hey, none of that mattered. Like at all. Nothing. Like, the whole second movie was stupid.
Right.
And you're just like, but the second movie is the better. It's like, it's good. Like, why would you erase that?
Right.
And I hate that whenever, you know, they erase history. Like, you kind of had to do it with Halloween, because Halloween just makes no sense. It's like the people making Halloween movies didn't watch the movies, except for the second one. But, like, Halloween 4, 5, 6, you know, like, They don't make any sense in any kind of a timeline.
Well, you know what's one of the differences between those two? Between the Halloween franchise and the Friday the 13th franchise, which I was randomly thinking about this shit the other day, not because of my hatred of Michael Myers, but just because I was thinking about this. Okay, so Friday the 13th, you had Friday the 13th Part 5 came out, the Scooby-Doo Friday the 13th. Fans went nuts. And the producer was like, okay, we got to figure out a way to bring back Jason. Let's just go total fucking left field and make Zombie Jason. Come up with some stupid shit. I know now he's Frankenstein and he can't get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Halloween 3 came out. And fans are like, what the fuck is Michael Myers? Same kind of uproar. But instead of coming up with a way to actually justify why Michael Myers would be back, they just said, let's just keep the storyline going. You know, they didn't come up with a reason why this motherfucker's still coming back.
Well, neither did Jason.
It's a huge difference. Well, the thing about it is, if you look, and we talked about this, if you look at Friday the 13th Part 6, Friday the 13th Part 4, the Jason that starts at Part 6 is not the same Jason as before. It is literally a zombie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not going to die. You know, they didn't do that with Michael Myers. He's still a dude. He's still a dude. You know?
Yeah, he somehow got powers. Yeah, okay, that makes more sense. I was going to say, because they never explained why he had, why he could wake up.
Right.
He was, you know, in part two, he was hurt real bad and then crawled away.
Right.
Or they faded off to a dream sequence or something whenever they're like, oh, it's the dog. Well, the dog's alive. Right.
What I maybe should have said was, like, in part six, it stopped being a serious movie anymore.
Well, but then, like, between 2 and 3, he was hurt. And then 3 to 4, he was hurt. Like, still very, very capable, but, you know, damaged. Then Corey Feldman chopped his head off.
He got killed.
Killed him dead.
It's called the final chapter.
Like, chopped his head face all into hamburger. Like, I keep saying, like, if you were a screenwriter in part 5, and you're just like, you know, you probably live in a much smaller house than me because you're living in California in the 80s and you probably have like this little bungalow and you want to be a screenwriter and you finally got an in at Paramount. And some motherfucker walks up and is like, okay, you're on the new Friday the 13th movie. Jason Voorhees is dead. Do anything you want except for him. You got 48 hours. Like, it's a copycat killer. Like,
what else could you do?
What could you do? You're like,
right.
With part 6, you know, they were like, okay, let's take it. Like,
we got to bring him back.
We got to bring him back. So, like, if we're bringing him back, what does he come back as? He comes back as a monster, you know, as a zombie.
Right.
With Halloween, they just kept on. It's like, biddling.
Yeah.
Step, step.
But if you look at the little hidden jokes in part 6, like we talked about with Rick and everybody, it's a totally different movie.
Yeah.
You can tell they said, let's take this franchise. If they want to keep having Jason, we got to take the franchise a different way. It can't be serious anymore. He came out of the grave. Okay, he's got a fresh pressed new set of clothes on. You know, it's like, let's just totally just say, fuck it.
Yeah.
We're just going to make fun movies from now on. We just got to figure out a way to bring his ass back to life. How did Frankenstein get brought back to life? Lightning. Let's do it. Yeah. And next thing you know, you got...
You're right. They also, Jason. They also bury this guy in his mask.
Yeah. Well, and Halloween has continued to try to be a serious movie.
Like 3
movie.
Feet deep, too.
Yeah.
They're out there just like, oh, we're digging him up in thunderstorms. Yeah. This is such a good idea. I gotta know.
By the way, I actually looked at it. The fourth Piranha is actually called Piranha 3 Double D. Just so you know. And some of the cast came back, but this is some of the cast members of Piranha 3 Double D. David Keschner. And then you go, Danielle Panabaker. How'd you get her? And then you look, and the next name is David fucking Hasselhoff. It just went totally crazy. But that one sucks. It's terrible. It couldn't get the same magic. And Ving Rhames returns, of course. He has one leg in this one, I remember. It's just weird. It's the weirdest movie. So what else you got? Let's see.
I just flipped it to a blank page because I had to throw my notebook down as if I was a studio executive in the 1980s. I mean, really, I think that's a good list. I mean,
yes, if you're running through tight.
If you're running through all the Friday the 13th movies, the Sleepaway Camps, the Terminators. I mean, those are some franchises.
You got there. A couple of genres and subgenres you can run through with this one, so definitely.
If you watch One Crazy Summer, do not forget its counterpart, The Better Off Dead. It's like the summer-winter
yes.
Thing. Somebody posted that meme the other day where it's, Booger from Revenge of the Nerds, where he's like, go that way really fast. If something gets in your way, turn. And I'm like, that is just, that's life.
This whole mountain is made of snow.
Do you know what the street value of this mountain is? It snorts his jello. Yeah. Again, one of those things where you just like, you know you're in the presence of weirdness, but you're just not old enough to understand why it's weird.
But one of the differences between those two movies, and actually one of the reasons why I prefer One Crazy Summer. One Crazy Summer does not try to be a serious movie at fucking all. Better Off Dead, it's a romantic comedy. You know, you have some stuff where, you know, he falls in love with the girl from France and they have a little moment and everything. One Crazy Summer is just a goofy-ass movie.
It's never serious. You're remembering it wrong because I actually had the same thing. In One Crazy Summer, it's Demi Moore.
Demi Moore, yeah.
And it's serious because he, like, you know, he talks to her because, remember, he's trying to draw the cartoons.
Yes.
And he's like, life is not going well and... You know, his bunny.
The cute fluffy bunnies keep it coming after me. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the fluffy bunnies. And he has that same, like pensive, sad, like, starving artist, whatever. And they connect. But then the blonde dude messes around and, like, because he was dating the girlfriend.
Yes.
And, like, she's driving him in the Jeep and she splashes Demi Moore and then he shows up and nobody came to her show and she's going to lose the house. And it's, like, all this serious because the Beckerstedt Estates. They're going to tear down her grandfather's house and all this stuff. It's like got that serious undertones that they then just completely ineptly attempt to try to fix until they fix the boat.
And I love it.
Hoops!
His nickname is Hoops. And she's like, we know you can beat him in a fight. Why don't you guys play basketball? And she's actually like, no. You don't understand. And they take Booger and make him the goal. And he's got his arms out. But it's like, Booger, move your arms. Move him out a little bit.
But then in Better Off Dead, he's got the same thing. Like, he's pining for the girlfriend he lost. Remember, he's got her face all over his hangers. And he's all like, oh, Mr. Whatever. And then whenever he finds out the French girl can speak English because she's just been living with...
I can't remember his name, but yeah.
Ricky.
Yeah, Ricky.
Sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. Shout out to Ricky. But
the international language. Love.
Sorry your mom blew up, Ricky. But yeah, then that's whenever they start working together and like trying to get a car fixed. You know, like with the Camaro in the garage.
Yeah.
Remember when we all had just broken down Camaros and we were just one montage away?
What I love is it was sitting under a tarp with cobwebs. And she went in and fixed the engine, and the next day it was waxed.
Oh, yeah.
With no paint damage whatsoever. It was literally a showroom condition, $35,000, fully restored Camaro.
Yep.
Numbers matching everything.
And they just drive it to the baseball field, like home plate. You know,
she wanted to see Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, like so you can just drive your car into, like,
it's true. It wasn't just a baseball field. It was Dodger fucking Stadium. Like,
hey, bro. We're going to go drive over there and make out for a little bit.
Well, when you ski the K2, they let you do shit like that.
I guess
that.
So. He's got one ski.
There's someone chasing them. $2.
Oh, man. Yeah, when they at the end of One Crazy Summer, whenever they figure out that they, because what is it? Troy's the bad guy from Goonies, but it wasn't Troy, the blonde guy, Beckerstedt.
No,
but Beckerstedt beats up.
Ackie's
brother.
Yeah, Ackie's brother.
And
no, Bobcat Goldthwait's brother.
Ackie was Booger. Yeah.
It was Booger. Yeah,
Bobcat Goldthwait's brother, and then like he's like. Rah! Freaks out with the chainsaw and like takes out his Ferrari, and then they put that engine in
the boat. Fire the hole! Boom!
And they're all like,
"It's my car." Such a good movie, man. Look how many things we can quote from it. When was the last time you watched One Crazy Summer?
When Hel Ming did it, I was like, because theirs was a really like in love send up. It was so. Well rendered. It was their first episode that I ever heard, and I was like, "Oh my god, you are correct. This is one of the greatest movies of my life. Like, I love it." So I went and watched it, and was just like,
"It was like 3 years ago,
yeah,
3 or 4 years ago." Look how well you remember it.
I mean, it is so good.
They got the guy from the bank, and they're doing the big party with the mini scale version of Beggar's Estates, and Godzilla comes stomping through it. And Asian guys, nice party. party! Nice party!
All right, I think we're going to go watch One Crazy Summer.
We need to find it somewhere, for sure.
This has been the second reboot episode, but the 177th episode of the Scary Dad Podcast. As always, man, we love you guys. We're trying to keep the energy up. As we finish up, I was telling Scott, man, my website right now is kind of like the Millennium Falcon. Remember in Empire Strikes Back, how Han was just like pulling wires out and like plugging stuff in and, you know, doing all this and that to try to make it work? That's how the website is right now. I had to like unplug things and plug things in and update them and reboot them. And when they didn't work, I had to just disengage them. Website's looking a little bit tough right now. I haven't looked at it in 2 years. Stuff changes. Stuff becomes obsolete. You got to figure it out.
Right.
But I'm working on it. We are going to have our website looking good. But the good news is that first episode came on through. You can find us on like Spotify. You can find us on, you know, just on the web, wherever. But we're probably going to be most active on Facebook because we've got other things going on. So that's the thing that's going to get seen the most. So if you like us, come like us. Join the conversation. Say, hey. Tell us that you think, for whatever reason, that, you know, I don't know, Jaws is not a good summer movie, and we'll talk to you. We might not agree with you. We might, but we'll certainly chat with you.
Don't take offense, because we welcome differing opinions.
Yeah, we're not going to get upset.
You like what you like, shit.
But my dog's telling me she needs to go outside. I think that's a good way to stop it. Love you guys. We'll see you soon. Keep it scary.
Later.